This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our number one priority, especially living in a place where we are a minority, is to do da'wah. I mean, you can approach this from a fiqhi standpoint, like many scholars have talked about the permissibility of either traveling to or remaining in a place where Islam is not the dominant force. Obviously, a lot of their conversation revolves around the fact that it's tricky, right? It's not a surprise that you see the kids grow up and many of the youth go astray. They find themselves, because Islam is not represented in society, in the values, in the culture, that there are other forces that are pulling them away. And so that is automatically a risky endeavor. And to counterbalance that, a lot of the scholars, they discuss the duty to make da'wah, the duty to call other people and invite other people to Islam. So, and that's really important because we know that our priority has to be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. It's not enough. Like, we have higher aspirations in life as Muslims than just going to a place that has a good economy and making money. And unfortunately, for a lot of people in the world, that's their only priority. And if that is your priority, then you're going to get replaced, to be frank. You know, Allah will replace you or your children or your grandchildren. He'll bring people like me and other people to be Muslims instead, which is terrifying. I don't mean to make it into a joke, though there's, you know, I try to keep it lighthearted, but it is also terrifying. If you look at in South America, there have been waves of immigration to Brazil, to Colombia, to Venezuela, to different places, Mexico, of Muslims from Lebanon or from other places, and they're not Muslim anymore. Like, those communities did not last whatsoever. So just sociologically, historically, if you're not actively, not just trying to preserve, and we shouldn't confuse preserving the faith with being insulated and being isolated and being far away from everybody. No, but if you're not doing da'wah, if you're not trying to spread the message of Islam and invite people to Islam, then you're probably not going to last that long, A. B, you might not be sincere, because, let's be frank, if you really thought that this deen is Allah's final word, message, epistle, whatever you want to say, that it's guidance for all mankind, if you had something that would save other people's lives, and especially their afterlife, and you kept it all to yourself, that action kind of shows that you don't actually believe that. Right. Let's give a materialistic example. If we get, you know, COVID-20, right, coming into whatever you thought of COVID-19, if we get COVID-20 coming down the pipeline and somebody had the cure with them, they discovered it. Okay. What would it show about the state of their heart and their sincerity towards other people if they kept it all to themselves? That might be even a criminal charge. That might be criminal neglect. You had the potential to save people, and you decided not to, for whatever reason. Well, if you really believe that Islam is going to put you in the afterlife, and that it is good for all people in all times, which Allah tells us and the Prophet ﷺ tells us, then you have to prove that with your actions. And in order to prove that with your actions, or what it looks like to prove that with your actions, is to try to call the people around you to Islam. Not to duck it, not to hide out, not to be unnoticeable, not to, like, whatever. You know, if you're going to be in a hotel or at work or with people, colleagues, classmates, you know, they should know that you're Muslim. And you should be ready to answer basic questions and clarify things. And you should realize that you're always being watched and you're always a representative of Islam. You have an exceptional duty, actually. It's easy to be a random Muslim person in Jordan and Egypt, and it's not easy to be in those places because there's other things that is going on there. But in the sense that when there's an expectation that everybody's Muslim, people don't take it as representative of Islam if you act out or act in a negative way. But in a place where there's so few Muslims and Islam is something that's so foreign, people are going to take that, whatever you do, as representative of Islam. If you cut somebody off on the road, or if you're road raging at somebody, or if you're impolite, or if you're belligerent, or anything, they're going to think that that represents Islam. So that's just a basic fact of life. So people who are going to be in these lands, have to understand that it is a land of ribat. And this is a nuance that I wish more people understood, that when the scholars talk about hijra, everyone was talking about hijra. If you have a specific situation where you or your family are going to like leave Islam, if you don't make hijra, then you should make hijra, okay, quote unquote, if you can find a place. And it's really, you know, one of the scholars, he put it very good when he said, it really takes specific information about where you're at to the specific place that you intend to go. We're not talking countries, we're talking about the city, the neighborhood, right? Like, but there's a whole other discussion that the scholars talked about living in minority, as a minority in a non-Muslim land, which is ribat, which is this idea that we're holding it down. We are holding down, we're on frontier, maybe we could call it like that. Like, we are the frontiersmen and the frontier women of bringing Allah's guidance to places that where it's not established yet. And that's a serious thing and a praiseworthy thing. So that's just like our orientation. And we talked about how the United States and its society, it's a consumerist society, it's a neoliberal capital, late capitalist society. It's got a lot of methods, mechanisms, and means to lull you to sleep. You know, you've got your Netflix and you've got your this addiction, your that addiction, and you've got your entertainment, and you've got your credit card debt, and you've got your mortgage, and you got everything that keeps you down and keeps you, you know, sedate. You don't own anything, and so you have to work twice as hard. Maybe you got two jobs to kind of keep it going, to make basic things. You don't have any time left over. You don't have any time left over for dawah. Okay, that's a problem. You're too busy catching your shows or whatever it is, scrolling YouTube or scrolling Instagram to do any dawah. If you look at your phone and you check how much time you spend on these apps, imagine if you put that time into dawah. Once a week, twice a month. Doesn't have to be crazy, right? So this is all we're talking about, that a lot of people forget that, and this is a primary responsibility that we have.